Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
There's something happening here.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, the Jade Monkey Eve edition. Hope you're signed up for the party. Hope to see you at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, 217 Cottage Grove Road, tomorrow. Dom's coming to town early. We're going to start the broadcast at 3. Dom joins at 4. Got John Nichols from The Nation at 4:30. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. And, of course, all of you on the deck partying with us at the Jade Monkey. Can't wait. The Summer of Love 2.0, Boosted Boogaloo, and the, you know, first unofficial rager of the summer to follow. Hope to see you at the party. So, anyways, that's tomorrow. But today we're still talking about the carnage, or at least it is our first opportunity, and you can be a part of the show. You can certainly respond. But carnage over the weekend. And specifically, I guess I'm talking about the targeted murders in Buffalo, the racially motivated targeted murders in Buffalo. But more broadly, there was also some violence in Milwaukee over the course of the weekend in the Deer District or nearby. And on Sunday, and unfortunately the Bucks lost, but there was no entree to the Deer District. They had to shut it down. The team was on the road, and the fans like to come down, especially on a glorious day like yesterday. But out of fear and perhaps respect to others injured a few nights earlier, they didn't do it yesterday. And the question becomes, what exactly inspired this guy? He drops a 160-page manifesto. He drives 3 hours. He does reconnaissance. And this, you know, white supremacist, self-described, goes into a black neighborhood and starts shooting people and does so until basically, you know, he gets captured. And he had plans. More carnage was on the menu. And the Republican leadership, specifically people like Elise Stefanik, well, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of repeating and parroting Tucker Carlson in this, you know, great replacement theory. The thought that somehow immigrants are diluting the white vote, and therefore your whitey vote's not worth as much as it used to be. And that's very problematic, or at least that is the engagement being ginned up on Fox News. I want to bring you the conclusion of the Solicit piece. Here's what Chris says in conclusion. Here's the thing. When you don't condemn and punish members of your own party, talking about Kevin McCarthy and his failure to punish Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene, when you don't condemn and punish members of your own party when they flirt with white nationalists and white nationalist ideology, you open up the door for it to happen more often. The fact doesn't mean that the likes of McCarthy or Stefanik bear direct blame for what happened in Buffalo over the weekend, but there is no question that Republican leaders have allowed intolerance and noxious notions like white replacement theory to fester within a part of their ranks over the past few years. And as Liz Cheney rightly notes, those actions, or more accurately, their inaction, talking about the GOP leaders, their inaction has consequences. And in this case, it's kind of deadly. Another opinion piece. Again, your reactions, your calls, welcome here. 844-967-2789. Greg Sargent at the Washington Post, his headline. How Elise Stefanik and the GOP sanitize great replacement ugliness. Yes, they do. Let me read. Nothing gets Republicans like Rep. Elise Stefanik angrier than reciting their own words back to them at a politically inconvenient moment. So it is that the New York lawmaker is lashing out at critics who have noted her flirtation with the great replacement theory in the wake of the horrific racist shooting in her home state. The online screed of alleged Buffalo shooter Peyton Grinden posits a conspiracy to exterminate and replace native-born whites in Western nations. He explicitly labels his plan genocide. So it's planned genocide. Anyways, let me read on. Stefanik, meanwhile, declared in ads last September that Democrats would legalize undocumented immigrants in a, and it was all caps at the time, permanent election insurrection. Now, that's a vile replacement trope pushed by the number 3 in the House GOP leadership. and confronted by this in the wake of Grindin's alleged mass murder of mostly black victims. I don't think it's an alleged. I think you can call it mass murder, but whatever. A Stefanik advisor insisted she has never advocated for any racist position while raging against sickening reports and a disgusting low for the left. Actually, the disgusting low was committed by Stefanik herself, because in this episode, we see how Republicans like Stefanik, they launder and sanitize these ideas in ways that insulate them ever deeper into the mainstream discourse. The extent to which the great replacement ideas have migrated from fringe into something more routine among Republican lawmakers appears new. As many have noted, Fox News Tucker rhymes with Tucker Carlson has relentlessly promoted versions of the idea. Numerous Republicans officials, Republican officials have done the same. What different is the careful mainstreaming of fantasies about a deliberate plot to replace native-born Americans that puts a new spin on the garden variety nativism or even on various forms of racial nationalism that envision whiteness as central to the American identity, notes Yale professor Philip Gorski, an expert in these movements. Here's his quote, Gorski's quote. It's been gradually moving from the fringes into the mainstream. First, it was the entertainment wing of the GOP. Now it's the political wing as well. Let's note that doesn't mean Republicans are to blame for the shooting. I appreciate Chris Cillizza and Greg Sargent letting, you know, Republicans let people know they're not directly related. Well, at least not by these authors. A little bit more. A speaker floats great replacement ideas, then claims it is entitled as intended as racially neutral. Carlson is an expert at this ruse. Oozing with phony piety, he insists he's just disinterestingly observing what Democrats and supporting immigration actually want to happen. Of course, Democrats support immigration for many reasons utterly unconnected to electoral politics. What's more, given that Latinos may be shifting Republican and that gaining citizenship takes many years, Carlson cannot even claim with any certainty that this will electorally benefit Democrats in the immediate or the long term. So his motive for railing, pardon me, so Tucker, rhyme with Tucker's motive for railing against this cannot be chalked up to mere disinterested observation about Democrats' political incentives. What exactly is the true nature of his warning to native-born Americans? What is he trying to get them to fear? It's about ginning up fear, right? Well, fear is good for business, and it's good for ratings and electoral engagement, just crudies aside. Fear's good, at least if you're Tucker. A little bit more. Stefanik also plays this sanctimonious game. How dare anyone discern any racial overtones in her warning that native-born Americans should fear permanent subjugation from a largely non-white immigrants in their midst? What an absolutely outrageous suggestion. Similarly, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas has declared that Democrats would effect a silent revolution by allowing an invasion of migrants. Patrick carefully couched this as a warning about millions of voters set to impose their will on the current population. And we've heard talk about the imported voters from other Republicans, including Rep. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, and oh yeah, our buddy, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Or take J.D. Vance, the GOP Senate nominee from Ohio. He recently claimed that President Biden's open border will ensure more Democrat voters pouring into this country. But once again, for the same reasons that Carlson and Stefanik cannot be permitted to get away with the scam of feigning racial neutrality, none of these Republicans can pretend to be warning only of electoral consequences. Know what I'm saying, people? This sort of trickery works on still another level. It recasts racist conspiracy theorizing in a more acceptable form. As Gorski puts it, the talk about new voters is really a fig leaf to hide white supremacy. And that's a direct quote. Here's another. By wrapping up great replacement theory and concerns about democracy, they're injecting the theory in our public conversation, Gorski told me, in this case to me being Greg Sargent, noting that this moves it from white supremacist fringes into the conservative mainstream. Now, Nicole Hemery, historian of the right, adds a crucial point. She notes that when high-profile figures float these ideas in a more benign form, it seduces people into being more accepting of them than they otherwise might be. Once this tactic legitimizes those ideas and makes them seem less radical, notes Hemmer, this might lead people to explore them further, slowly acclimating them to their more virulent ideological core. Meanwhile, as fascism scholar Jason Stanley details, even the sanitized, coded version will be entirely legible and extremely energizing to the movement's, the true believers, the faithful, right? Here's the conclusion, Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. So when Stefanik declares herself shocked, I tell you, that anyone would suggest that nefarious intentions undergird her great replacement parody, remember, this is a key feature of how the whole sword game is supposed to work. So they bring it to the mainstream. The fringe becomes the GOP mainstream. And some people are, let's just say, inspired to act in violent fashions, targeting, let's say, racial minorities at a grocery store. 844-967-2789. Our pal Gary from Sussex. Gary, how you doing, man?
It could be better. I'm very sad about what all went on between Milwaukee and out in California and Buffalo, New York. It's sad. There's a lot of people are really hurting.
What do you think these things have in common, Gary?
Well, I think the Milwaukee one was people were just carrying too many guns at the time and pissed off and got everybody says, shoot, I don't think anything was ever planned that in Milwaukee. The one out in California was obviously planned, and this crazy guy out in Buffalo. Now, the thing is, this guy's a coward. The guy is going to go out there and kill a whole bunch of people, but he doesn't want to get shot himself, so he wears body armor.
Yeah.
Then he has the gun on his neck, and the cops don't even shoot him. The guy had a gun in his hand. He could have easily dropped the gun forward, a 15-degree angle. Or 45-degree angle.
You're talking about at point of arrest, Gary, right? Shooter in Buffalo at point of arrest?
Yeah, if the guy had a gun pointed at his neck, and I'm telling him to drop it, and he doesn't drop it, and that gun moves a fraction towards me, I'm going to shoot him dead. The thing is, I'm glad that he's alive, and the reason why is because now we can find out what's going on with this guy's live streaming and who's involved, who edged this guy on to go out there and do this? And who was watching? And who knew all this going on? And they should get these people for, a conspiracy to commit murder.
Well, if they conspired with the shooter, no doubt, then that's a crime. But, Gary, the simple act of watching someone else, commit mayhem violence is not a crime, as far as I can tell.
Right, but knowing that it's going to go on, if I knew that this guy was going to go out and kill people and I didn't go out there and say anything, I don't know. That's
fair enough, Gary.
I don't know.
Is it possible that the commonality between all three of these incidents is the guns, Gary? The prevalence, the wide-scale availability of these guns?
You're dealing with an NRA guy that has weapons. No, the guns don't kill. It's the people who kill, and you know it,
availability of guns, if you can't buy a gun on every corner, out of every trunk, out of every gun store, Gary, you're going to have less people killing people with guns. Appreciate your call, Gary. We're up against the break, man. Come back with us. More Devils, 844-967-2789.
Beautiful places are always in danger of being overrun by the worst people. Ask anyone who grew up in Aspen.